The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
According to the groundbreaking American Worldview Inventory conducted last year by the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, just 6% of American adults have a biblical worldview. Well, joining us to talk about the implications of that statistic, as well as how we got here and what some of the contrasting worldviews are that have taken its place, Dr. George Barna, professor at Arizona Christian University, the director of research at the Cultural Research Center at ACU. Also, yes, you recognize his name as well, you should. He's the founder of the well-known research company Barna Group. He's authored a number of books, over 50 of them, many of them New York Times bestsellers and award winners. Dr. Barna, an honor to welcome you to the show.
Hey, John, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you have helped many of us through the years with a lot of your research and statistics, and you continue to do so. In fact, I cited this most recent report that Christian Post picked up on in a sermon a couple of weeks ago myself at my own church, but let's start, I guess, with what's a simple definition of biblical worldview? Because you say a lot of Americans don't even have a worldview. So let's start with a worldview first and then a biblical worldview.
Yeah, actually, I don't say people don't have a worldview. Everybody has a worldview. The issue really is which one do they have. A worldview is nothing more than the intellectual, the moral, and the spiritual filter that each of us uses to make decisions from moment to moment. It's an accumulation of all of our core beliefs that wind up resulting in our core behaviors. So everybody needs a worldview to get by from moment to moment. The issue is, what are the beliefs that we're going to latch onto and then put together into this kind of a philosophy of life? That's really what a worldview is, that tells us how to deal with any given situation in which we find ourselves.
Well, let's talk through some of these groups. Let's start with the folks who really do have a biblical worldview. What would that include and what would that look like? And is there a demographic that moves more in that direction, politically or otherwise?
Yeah, you know, we measure 51 different beliefs and behaviors when we talk about somebody's worldview. So it delves into many different things in terms of beliefs. It will deal with what you believe about God or some kind of divine being, whether one exists, and what is the nature and character of that being. It deals with ideas about sin. It deals with ideas about purpose in life. It deals with your definition of success in life. So, I mean, it really covers a range of different things that begin to characterize who you are as a human being, what kind of person you want to be, why you think you're on the planet. So it's all of those kinds of things together. And when we look demographically and theologically at the people and their worldviews, what we discover is that those most likely to have a biblical worldview tend to be older, for the most part, 50 or older, 50 to 55 in that range and older. They tend to be of a Protestant background. We find that not as many Catholics, for instance, have a biblical worldview. And, you know, they tend to span the gamut in terms of other demographics. Age really is one of the key definers.
There are several others also. Each of them, I sure, could merit a full discussion for the next hour. But walk us through these several alternative worldviews that really have begun to, or in fact have quite completely, I guess, replaced the original consensus that our country may have had as a worldview.
Yeah, you know, when we look at all of this, we find that worldviews like secular humanism, like moralistic therapeutic deism, postmodernism, nihilism, Eastern mysticism, and Marxism are the biggest contributors to what winds up being people's worldview. But frankly, Don, I mean, our most recent research is finding something that not even we expected, which was that the dominant worldview in America today is what we would call syncretism. And that's where people don't have one particular worldview that they rely upon. They instead draw different ideas and concepts and behaviors from many different worldviews, and they bolt them together into a customized, personalized worldview that really doesn't bear any particular resemblance to any of those other worldviews I just identified, but they're drawing from those different worldviews. So what you wind up with is people having all kinds of disparate ideas that sometimes are even contradictory to themselves. They might have different points of view or behaviors that really don't fit with the beliefs that they say that they possess. So it's kind of confusing when you go to measure all this, but I think that also describes part of the reason we have all the tension in America today. People aren't thinking clearly. They're not thinking and acting consistently. We're really confused.
Was there a time when most Americans held a biblically rooted worldview? I remember Francis Schaeffer years ago, the one chance I got to see him speak up in Boston many years ago at the, I think it was the Boston Garden, he held the Bible up over his head and he said there was a time when you could ask the average guy on an American street corner, what is this? And he'd say, it's the Word of God, it's the Bible. But of course, he said we've moved way past that into postmodernism back then and so forth. But was there a time when the most of the body politic in America really did hold a biblical worldview in terms of at least their personal convictions, if not their practice?
Yeah, of course, we haven't had the kind of survey research that we use these days for all that long. It started back in the late 1930s. But yeah, I mean, based on all of the historical documents that we've studied and looked at, it appears that certainly before the turn of the 20th century, you know, back in the 1800s, 1700s, the vast majority of Americans had predominantly a biblical worldview. That began to change in the early 1900s when the progressive movement and other movements started to arise, when different types of churches began to become more popular. And so you started to see that diminution of that the biblical worldview at that point. But, I mean, even today, as we look at what worldviews people are drawing from, the biblical worldview is still drawn on by about 31% of our population to a stronger, at least moderate degree. So it's not like we've completely turned our back on biblical principles. Now, in a lot of cases, we may buy into some of those principles and not even know they're coming from the Bible, because we are becoming a biblically illiterate nation. I'm sorry, we already are, really. But, yeah, things are changing, but it's not hopeless.
The question that's posed in the article itself, how has this happened? And you say worldview in America develops by default, and then you want to elaborate. Do that for us. How have we gotten to this situation where we've really almost slipped all of our moorings in terms of biblical worldview?
Well, you know, the way it works is that a person's worldview starts developing at 15 to 18 months of age. And it's almost completely developed by the age of 13. And yet what's happening in our culture is that churches and parents in particular aren't paying any attention to the worldview development of children. So what happens is the media comes in, they affect the minds of kids. Politicians and our laws and policies come in, that affects them. They go to public schools, they're taught different worldview elements. You know, you go on through all of this, and what we're finding is that the influence entities that made such a big difference prior to the start of the 20th century are no longer playing in the worldview marketplace. They've been replaced, and what's happening is instead we're leaving children to decide whatever they want to believe. And, of course, Marx and then Lenin and Mao Zedong, other leaders in communist socialist countries over the course of history have said, give me a child until they're seven and I'll have them for the rest of their life. And that's what's happening in our culture today. We're not taking children seriously. We're not intentional and strategic about helping them develop a biblical worldview, and consequently they don't.
And you do note, or you are quoted as noting, that at your university, Arizona Christian University, you don't take it for granted. You say worldview is caught more than taught in the United States, but you're very intentional there. Take a moment to tell our folks about that.
Well, Arizona Christian University was attractive to me because it was the first place I found that takes worldview so seriously that every single class, every single extracurricular activity you have at the university is done through a biblical worldview. One of the reasons they hired me and brought me on was to develop an inventory to continually be measuring the worldview of our students. There's no other university in the world that does that. And so we're very intentional about this process, and you're absolutely right, Donald. We don't take for granted the idea that because someone applied to a Christian university or comes from a Christian home or has attended church, that they have a biblical worldview. We know that most Americans, including most people who are attending Christian churches, more than 8 out of 10 people attending Christian churches, do not have a biblical worldview.
Final question for you, and I'd love to pursue this further in the future with you. What do you say to the pulpit in America? Because it is responsible, I believe, perhaps more than any other entity, for the shaping of a culture. What's your thought?
I'd say, you know, they need to understand it's time to wake up. Success in ministry isn't about getting more people to take more notes. It's not about filling more seats. Jesus called us to make disciples. And you get what you measure. When I look at what churches are measuring, they're not effectively measuring how we're growing disciples. Frankly, most churches aren't really even devoted to developing disciples. So, I mean, that's got to become a priority for our Christian churches in the future.
I hope we can talk again on it and maybe at a longer visit, but thank you very much for spending the time with me today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Don. I look forward to it.
George Barna, well-known name. Many of you have cited his material and read it and made use of it as a researcher. If you want to track his work and follow him, his website is georgebarna.com, georgebarna.com. And if you follow him on Twitter, the Twitter handle is @George_Barna, @George_Barna.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.